Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another morning of Keeping It Brief. And I'm Naomi Sarah, and I'm back from a long, hectic summer. And, I'll be with you this morning, along with my co-host, Diane D. The lovely Diane. And we have a new co-host this morning. Ed Hunter will be joining us. So our first Mr. Brevity to join the show. So I hope you're all sitting down and ready for a wonderful show this morning. I can't wait to get it started. We have a wonderful lineup of poetry on the board. So, yeah. So hello. Hello, guys. Hi, Diane.
Hello, Miss Naomi. It's so good to have you back. Naomi, Ed is my, you don't mind if I call you Ed, do you, Ed Hunter? Really nice to meet you. And Naomi is a fellow Canuck of mine. So we we have a common bond, but the show is the great common bond. So it's really good to be here with you guys today.
Thank you very much.
Oh, indeed. We're both hockey followers.
Yes.
We watch our hockey here in Canada.
Hockey,
I guess, Ed, you would be. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Go on, Diane.
No, I was going to say, in Canada, hockey is a season.
Oh, yeah. I bet, Ed, you guys, it's football.
Yeah, but hockey's big here with Mario Lemieux and a couple of the other players. We won a few Stanley Cups, so hockey's really big here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you're in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Mario.
Oh, wow,
awesome.
Yeah, hockey would be big there with your wins. Taking it away off the poor Canadians, my gracious, they're just dragging on, you know, behind. Oh,
not
boy. Anyway. Yeah. So we have an excellent lineup of poetry, my gracious. So, Diane, whenever you're ready to put up that that first link. We have a caller. So who may it be joining us? Hello?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, is that Miriam?
This is Miriam.
Yeah, hello, Miriam. Wow, great to have you join us. Always
welcome.
Great to have you join us. And I heard the doorbell two times. Does that mean we have two callers, or is it just Miriam? Is there another caller on the line? No, I guess not. So welcome, Miriam, to the show. And we have our first poem up. Miriam, if you, oh, well, Diane, yeah, you do your job. What do we have up first, Diane?
Well, up first we have Always Safe With You. It's a carryover. We have a few carryovers. And this one is Always Safe With You by Oak Blue 36. And Miriam, did you want to go ahead and read that for us?
If I can find it. I had a different poem up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can move on and grab you next time, my girl.
Okay, let's do that, and I will go on trying to find where you are.
100%. And my guy, would you like to read it?
Oh, yes. I'd be happy to.
Awesome.
Always Safe With You by Oak Blue 36. Under a wall of raindrops, your face is still mysteriously young, and the joy uniting us is endless. We dance under the sun, and yellow shades of our clothes remind of the upcoming sunlight. A breathless moment when you look at me joins the dots of our souls in a quiz of life. As if we never grew older, a game of love is the one we're addicted to. The rainbows not far from our hearts that radiate joy and admiration. End poem.
Oh, what a great read that was, Ed. Bravo. And isn't it great, ladies, to have a man voice at last on this show?
Yes.
And so I love this little poem by Oak Blue. I always love her writing. And Miriam, what did you think of the poem? Hello, Miriam?
I tried to click on it and I got a very loud YouTube thing.
Okay, so I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, 4 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I found it now.
Okay, I will ask Diane, and then I'll come back to you. Diane, what did you think of this poem?
Well, I enjoyed this poem. I got right into this poem. It was the imagery, and we dance under the rain, and yellow shades of our clothes remind of the upcoming sunlight. I felt myself like it was like I was, could, you know, and he or she is looking for their love or dance or they're with their love, and it's like the rain is keeping them young. The rain keeps them young as they join the dots of our souls. It's just an awesome little love poem. And I felt myself in between the raindrops, looking around at raindrops pitting down. It was a beautiful imagery.
Oh, yeah, indeed, I agree. You know, very tender and soft, just such a wonderful write here by Oak Blue. And as usual, you know, the imagery is just stunning in this poem. And Ed, what did you think of the poem, my dear? You read it.
Well, the way with nature that how much I love, this was a beautiful poem that incorporated nature for love. And it always goes around of how nature lives. And I think she did a wonderful job, especially how she added almost everything that we live with today.
Oh, that's an awesome comment, an awesome, mm-hmm. awesome observation. Yeah, well, really mm-hmm. Well said there, Ed. And Miriam, your thoughts, my dear.
One of the things I really like about this is that you really can't tell how old the people are. The part about dancing in the rain kind of sounds like children. And the poet also talks about getting older and about their faces still mysteriously young. I'm going to guess that these people are at least 50 years old. that is a guess. It's just talking about the rain and at the same time thinking about the coming sunlit light and the possibility of a rainbow. This is a really nice range there. Very,
indeed.
Very happy.
Yeah, indeed. Wonderful comment. A very, like I said, a very tender, soft poem. And I agree, the incorporation of nature into the poem is so well done. So bravo, Oak Blue 36. Amazing, amazing write from you this morning. Wonderful addition to the show. And what will be our next write, Diane?
Yes, up next I am, actually first I just want to say great comment, Miriam. I like what you said about not knowing the age. That was cool. I wondered about that too. Next up is called, and I think I just put it twice. No, I put the wrong one. Oh, Poetically Written. Or it's called My Only by Poetically Written. And I will read it, and then I'm going to be right back after that. So if you could call on me last, Naomi.
Okay, no problem, Diane.
Okay, it's called My Only by Poetically Written. We live to dance another day through all the unexpected gray, never to leave our thoughts astray. Like chips to fall is where we'll lay. Many will dance. Some people will fade. This is a part of life's price that's been paid. We're given a sword, a double-edged blade. Words carving and slicing, our beds have been made. When having advanced, it's as sweet as perfume, a welcoming scent now filling the room. Not measured by sound, but still found in the tune. Two people in love, it's the bride and the groom. end poem.
What a wonderful, you know, wedding poem. We dance another day through all the unexpected gray, never to leave our thoughts astray, like chips to fall is where they will lay. There's something in that. We live to dance another day through all the unexpected gray. When you're in a marriage and you're getting married, you know that there's going to be gray, you know, not everything is going to be super golden, perfect every day. I hope that, people that get married know that, you know, there's up and downs. But, this is wonderfully, wonderfully put. I just love the incorporation of you know, words carving and slicing our beds have been made. You know, we're given a sword, a double-edged sword, a double-edged blade. And, I'll ask you first, Miriam, what did you think of this poem?
Oh, I think the imagery and the meaning, the story that's being told, are very beautiful. But I was also really struck by the structure, no pun intended. There's a mono rhyme within each verse, and that's very, very difficult to do. To have the same line, to have each line have the same rhyme to it. If I do that, I have to make heavy use of the thesaurus and the rhyming dictionary. I really admire that. It's very, very well done. And the other thing that I really liked is that as you look at the poem, on the page, is each verse, the lines appear to be longer. But as far as the rhythm goes, as far as the meter goes, they're exactly the same. They have four beats per line. So it starts out iambic, and then, put more unstressed syllables are added. There's no syllable counting here, and I really appreciate it. I think it works really well on this poem.
That's a great great observation there, Miriam. I love, you know, the way it's written. Also, you know, the technicality part of it. I think, you know, it just adds to the poem and the meaning of the poem. So that's a great observation. And Ed, did you have time? I know that you were late getting the post.
I read it and I heard
over.
It.
Yeah, okay.
It's a lovely poem with flowing words. And I always try to go to see what the prompt was, and it goes very well with the prompt. It's beautiful, and it has a breathtaking and gorgeous lines for the person that's reading and to understand and think. And imagine this story. Loved it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Breathtaking, beautiful lines. I love that. Wonderful comment, Ed. And Diane, are you back?
Yes, my girl, I am back. And I just want to apologize. I thought I dropped that poem in both rooms before I ran away here, but I guess I missed the late night poets room. So thank you so much, Adam, or Brevity Writers, I think. Thank you so much for posting that for me. I appreciate it. And my take on this beautiful piece was I was excited with the ending to find out that this was a dance of the bride and groom. This was their dance of their night, and the poet is talking through the only person. I'm assuming this is someone watching, two people in love. It's the bride and the groom. And then at the same time, being a part of it, we're having a dance. It's the sweetest perfume. It's excellent, right? And the line that really grabbed me was not measured by sound, but still sound in the tune. Two people in love. It's the bride and the groom. The love was in the music, and to be able to capture that and put it into words was beautiful. Excellent, right? Well done.
Yeah, I like those two lines too, Diane. Great observation on those lines. Great comment. And where are you taking us next, Diane? To Walt Disney World?
You know, girl, pretty soon, virtually, we're going to be able to go there. It'll happen. Maybe not in our time, but it'll happen. So we have a top, and it's called Jack the Boy, To Jack the Boy by Teresa S. And Naomi, my friend, would you like to read that?
Of course. Anything by Teresa. To Jack the Boy. Jack was nimble. Jack was quick. For Jack, he always jumped high over the candlestick. Sat you did in front of me, scribbling, always scribbling. What can you see, Miss Little T, when and such moving images it was, what is it was that I saw with your crayon visions, never listening, always hearing, drawing, always dreaming. Yes, that you did in front of me. For Jack, you jumped high, then Jack, you jumped low, as you dance round and round in the Scottish snow. End poem. Oh, that was beautiful. Beautiful, Teresa. Oh, I want to know what everybody thought of this poem. Miriam, what are your thoughts?
I would like to say that the second verse was actually written about me.
Really?
No. Don't think that Teresa knows that, but I recognize myself from early childhood all the way through graduate school. I'd sit and write notes on what the teacher was saying, write down everything the teacher said, including the jokes, and illustrate everything. I had drawings all over the paper along with the notes. And so especially that with your crayon visions. That's me. So thank you very much, Teresa, for capturing me there.
That is wonderful. Yeah, it kind of sounds like me, too. I was a doodler. And, you know, I have ADD, attention deficit disorder, and, you know, I doodle a lot, you know, like 15 minutes into a class. Maybe not like you. I wasn't taking all the notes, but I'd start doodling away, you know. But scribbling and scribbling. What was that?
Never listening, always hearing. That's a very good description of ADD, which I also have.
Yeah. Indeed it is.
But I would appear to be not listening, looking out the window, whatever, but I actually was hearing what was said most of the time. And always listening.
Yes.
So
I understand that.
We're sisters from different misters. I just learned that phrase. I really like it. You and I, Naomi.
Oh, yes. And Ed, what did you think of the poem, my dear?
Well, I agree with both of you with the middle stanza. I kind of relate to it also with the daydreaming, scribbling, being sent to the coat room or the board from just daydreaming and not paying attention. So this brought back some pretty good memories of when I was young in grade school.
That's awesome. Yeah. Being very relatable to a lot of people, this poem is. And Diane, my girl, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is an excellent brevity for this contest. To Jack the Boy, I like how it's formatted. It's got the four lines at the top and the bottom, and then in the middle, it's describing Jack. And, you know, for me, it was like I wondered, first off, who's little Miss B? You know, like Jack is drawing pictures of what can you see, little Miss B. And then there's such moving images it was that I saw with your crayon vision. Now, I just love those two words put together. It just, the imagery, it popped up for me. I could see all these artworks of different colors going around Jack's head. And it was, you know, it's capturing this little Jack that just loves to draw and dream and stuff. So I just pulled excellent imagery out of this that really gave me a smile, put a smile on my face.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, I understand there. Yeah, put a smile on all. I think everybody's faces. It was a little witty, magical piece indeed. So bravo, Teresa. And Diane, what will be our next poem?
Okay, up next is we are now moving into the Ogden Nash quote.
Okay.
And I am posting the first one, and it is called Candy is Dandy, but Liquor is Quicker. And Ed, would you like to give that one a read?
Yes. Candy is Dandy, but Liquor is Quicker by Earth Passion. If you're looking to re-rig your brain and the trip to your dock was in vain, I've got just one thing, no need for that bling if you want to avoid lots of pain. I know candy is dandy for sure. It's a pleasure so instant and pure, but liquor is quicker for the mental flicker, so you really can't beat the allure. Oh, but candy is dandy, you say, though that toothache will not go away. See, the dentist has stock in the business to mock what his patients are chewing today. Therefore, liquor is quicker indeed, just to bring your need. Now take a good swig. You'll be doing the jig, and your happiness is guaranteed. End poem.
Now, take a good swig. You'll be doing the jig, and your happiness is guaranteed. What a cute, you know, poem. And, you know, by Earth Passions here. I'd like to hear what Diane has to say on this poem.
Oh, this is a good piece for me. And kind of like Miriam with the last rite, you know, this is describing me, because me, I'm always looking for something to re-rig my brain. And quite often now, I'm a sugar addict. Candy is certainly dandy. And at the same time, does it re-rig your brain the way maybe alcohol would? One's an upper, one's a downer. So I kind of found it an excellent little piece to say, hey, if you just want to get yourself right mentally, just have a swig of liquor or have some candy. And both for me, I mean, as humans, we like to escape. We like to find things to kind of shut us down, and that does. So excellent, right, on re-rigging your brain just took to me quite well. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, indeed. Great comment, Diane. And Miriam, what did you think of the poem?
I like the third verse best. This may be a false memory, but I have in my mind a bowl of lollipops at the dentist's office to help children, to reward children for being good while they were having their teeth examined. I can't believe it. It must not be true. But it sounds as if that's what the dentist is doing, that the dentist has bought stock in sugary products, hoping that the patient's teeth will rot, so
yeah,
more work to do. I like that idea. I hope it doesn't happen. It's very funny.
Yeah, you imagine the dentist. Yeah, but you know that would be a good business, good business move for him. And Ed, what did you think of the poem?
This was very entertaining. As for me with candy, I get pretty wound up, and if I go past two liquors, I'll probably be laying on the ground. So it's a little different scenario for me with the booze. So it's enjoyable. What I think about this poem is I think of the Irish and going to Ireland. From the liquor is quicker, indeed, just to bring your need up to full speed. I have that feeling because my brother lived in Ireland for a long time, and just from the sights and sounds and everything, this is what I see in this poem.
Oh, yeah, the Irish are known for their liquor, that's for sure. But, I think the Scots, too, I'm not too sure, but, and I understand where you're going with the candy because, I have ADD and with hyperactivity, and all my four kids inherited that, like that gene or whatever it is. And so the school would be calling me and they'd say, no more sugar in their lunch boxes. We don't even want juice. You just said water. So I had, for years, we had a sugar-free house. And, my kids still today, they drink water. And it's passed on to my grandchildren because they also have hyperactivity. And, two of them, the other ones are too young, we don't know yet. I hope not, my gracious. But, my daughter also has a sugar-free house, because the kids just climb the walls. So I understand that, the candy makes you, just go. So wonderful right here by Earth Passions for sure. I really found this, like you said, very entertaining and, a wonderful little write. And with that, Diane, where are we going next?
Well, up next, we are going to Time and Motion by Daniel Descino. And Miriam, would you like to read that one for us?
In just a moment here. I figured out how to refresh the page. I should be able to get it now. Oh, scrolled too far down. Someday somebody needs to tell me how to get these poems.
Do you see the group room? Like Brevity Writers, Miriam?
I'm still seeing Candy as Dandy. And
oh, you need to refresh. What you do is, what do you do to refresh? Just press on Brevity Writers again.
I got it.
Or Control R will refresh your page.
Time and motion?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Time and motion. Time is the fluidity of the waters of the earth, and those rare occasions of stillness, lake reflection, contemplation ripples from a single raindrop. The mirror is just an illusion, a backwards world. Water is movement, fluid waves of glass, myriad is the ground I have stood on solid earth. And I watch the ocean waves of time and motion flicker into existence, barely a memory, barely a thought. Boats that harness the wind, boats that ride by the stars, boats that hope with sunset horizon dance with puppet strings of waves of ocean past and future, time and motion.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful read there, Miriam. And you know what a beautiful picture that Daniel DeShino has spun for us here. You know, he just laid out, you know, this wonderful imagery. I can just see it, you know, and, you know, I love the water, you know, being brought up next to the ocean. And I can just see those boats in the wind gliding under the stars and the setting horizon there. Wow. I love, you know, his wording. It's like the boats that hope with sunset horizon dance with puppet strings of waves of ocean past and future, time and motion. Just beautiful. And what did you think, Diane?
Oh, I really enjoyed this write called Time and Motion. I enjoyed the movement in it. It moved me because time and water is such a great combination to describe motion and movement, because water doesn't stop. Water is never still, and neither is time. Time is never still. Both of these are ongoing. Both of these are fluent, like fluid, always moving. And then to describe time and in the last stanza and talk about waves of ocean past and future time. So the ocean is the past, moving around and going as it goes. And the time is what's coming up. And it created such a energy in me, like you said, Naomi. It grabbed my energy, and it felt so calming. It was excellent, right?
Oh yeah, calming is the perfect word for this. And I love, you know, how your observation between the water and time, that they are always in motion. So true. And Ed, your thoughts.
Well, I agreed so much with her. It's a tranquil rite. And because of my training in martial arts, it's to be with one. And to be with one is you live with this existence of going around the water, the rocks, the stress, as the ocean, as the wind, the waves. This is a way of being one with yourself. And I think a lot of people should read this to try to understand what is behind these lines. It's not just nature. It's within your heart, within yourself, of how to live.
Wonderfully said there, Ed. Yeah. We can tell there, that you truly loved this poem and understood it, the deep meaning behind the words. And Miriam, your thoughts?
This is the kind of poem that you find something more in every time you read it. It's just absolutely packed with meaning. There are a couple of things that I especially noticed. It says, the mirror is just an illusion, a backwards world. He's been talking about the surface of the water, and he compares that with a glass mirror. And the big difference is water is movement, fluid waves of glass. So you get reflection off water, but it has a lot more character than just a glass mirror. And the other part that I just loved is the series of images of boats. And I at first I didn't understand that the boats dancing with puppet strings, but then I thought back on actually watching boats on the water and how the waves raise and lower them, on a fairly calm sea or river. And the boats rise and fall gently, and it really does, when I think about it, look as if they're on strings and they're being pulled up into the sky and then dropped down again. So that's just a marvelous image there. It's so unique.
Oh, indeed, yeah, from observing, from the dock many times, like the boats, the fishing boats, like my family are all fishermen mostly, or farmers, and you do see the boat on the waves, as the waves, hit them, they kind of go up and down. So that's a great observation there, Miriam. A wonderful, wonderful comment. And Diane, where does that take us next?
Well, next that takes us to a write called, I Hope That's Not My Phone Ringing, by Myriad Musings. And I will go ahead and I will read that one. It's called, I Hope That's Not My Phone Ringing. Oh, Ogden Nash, I'm middle-aged. I fear the telephone. I'd rather spend my Saturdays writing poems alone. But I'm like you, when my phone rings, I know that it's for me. At least we now can screen our calls and hide to some degree. End poem.
That's a cute little write. Yeah, the technology has so evolved over times, and at least now we can screen our calls and hide to some degree. So true. And Ed, what did you think of this write?
Well, we all can relate to this, but what's unique is Ogden Nash at that time, when that phone rings, either he's not going to pick it up on a Saturday because that's his day off to relax and write and do whatever he wants. Where us, we have that choice, which is funny because of today's technology. We could see who's on the phone and just hang up. So this is actually a pretty excellent write for the past and today.
Oh, well said. Well said, Ed. And Miriam, your thoughts, my dear?
I think Annika has a cell phone. because when our landline rings, I don't know whether it's for Tim or for me or a wrong number. But I do like the contrast of the first verse and the second, and remembering how things used to be when we didn't have cell phones and all we had was a landline that didn't even have caller ID on it. So, yeah, I can understand. I remember fearing the telephone. I really do. And now it's more of a friend.
Yeah, a wonderful comment there, Miriam. And Diane, you read that so wonderfully. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I enjoyed this. This was, and I relate to it because, I mean, when I was a kid, and I mean, I'm not going to age myself. Well, I am going to age myself. When I was a kid, that phone would ring and shrilly scream at me in the middle of the day. And I would look at that phone and it was like the phone itself was dancing in the cradle. It was ringing so loud, that shrill ring. And today, you know, not having to hear that, my phone is never on. My phone sits beside me 24/7, but it's never on. I check it when I'm ready. I don't care if it rings today. And that's the beauty of this, is we get to make that choice today. Like the writer said, we can hide to some degree. And not just hide, but choose my peace. And when my phone's going off all the time, I'm not at peace. So I get to choose that today, whereas when I was a kid, nah, that shrill phone wouldn't let me be at peace. And awesome, right? I love this, right?
Yeah, it's so true. I remember too that the shrill ring of those old phones where you had to you know the dial and around. I had that for a while because my parents they weren't too great on upgrading technology, so they stayed with their old stuff. But yeah, I remember those shrill phone rings. So great observation there, Diane.
May I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Okay. What's bad about today? Even though we can see who calls, everyone has a phone. They're always looking on it. It's like a distraction of life, especially when you want to talk to someone. So it kind of almost is irritating in some ways. That's all I had to say.
I understand. Yes, Miriam, yes.
I want to add a little bit about this poem as a parody of Ogden Nash. First of all, the meter is excellent. I mean, sometimes Ogden Nash mangles the meter on purpose for humor, but there are other times when his meter is right on, just the way this is. And that last line is just perfect, and it's so Ogden Nash because it says, well, the last couple of says, at least we now can screen our calls and hide to some degree. It's like at the very end, he turns it around. Well, in this case, she turns it around, but it's very Ogden Nashian to turn the thought of the poem around right in the middle of the last line. So that's expertly done.
Yeah, great observation now that I look at it. So true, Miriam. Yeah, great comment there. And wonderful little write. So what do we have next, Diane?
Before I put up, I just want to comment on what Miriam and Ed had to say as well, because
go ahead, my dear.
it's such an intriguing piece, so Ogden Nashy, like Miriam said, you know. But the thing that
blew my mind was Miriam was talking about a landline, because that is becoming ancient to me now. Like, I live in a city of a million, and the telephone company can't get people to install home phones anymore. Nobody wants a landline anymore. So
we're extremely grateful to have a landline, because our building, the cell phone service is just horrible. We get cut off all the time. And it's far more reliable.
Oh, absolutely. I can totally see that, because, I actually was thinking of getting a landline for that reason alone, because of that. But, yeah, it's the rate itself brings out a present thing that I never realized, and I missed that telephone, actually missed that phone on the wall. So, yeah, excellent, right, and great comments, you guys. It's really nice to have a mister with us now. And with that, I will post what is up next, and it is called Shoe Size by Weaver of Dreams. And Naomi, would you like to read that one for us?
Of course, by our Kate, Weaver of Dreams. Okay, so this is called Shoe Size, and she wrote to the quote, "You are only young once, but you can stay immature indefinitely." And it goes like this. "I must grow up, I realize. It is time I behaved more, my age, than my shoe size. Although immaturity is fun, I want a career path, a goal, because so far I have none. It's then the horror hits me. I might become like my dad. Then I will never break free. Seriously?" End poem. And Ed, go ahead and comment on this poem.
Well, I actually talked to this person. I sent a couple messages about asking how many shoes, you know, they have. And, you know, with age and longevity, people wear a different shoe almost every day of how they dress. So they accumulate so much, and it becomes a horror show in their closet or in their bedroom where they're tripping over everything. So I thought this was done very well, for being, you know, you're only young once, but you can stay immature indefinitely.
Excellent comment. And Diane, your thoughts, my dear.
Oh, this was thought-provoking for me. It made me think of, you know, to be immature and not take life seriously and to do, you know, to finally grow up. And the quote itself, "You are only young once, but you can stay immature indefinitely." And in that second stanza, you know, it talks about immaturity is fun, but I want a career path, a goal, because so far I have none. And I like this, because when this writer gets out there and realizes you can have a career path and still be immature, you can have a career path and still it can be fun, it can be, you know, immaturity can follow you in life. Like, I have a career, I work from home, and I'm still enjoying the immaturity. It's like I'll never grow up. Excuse me. I'll never grow up because I don't want to grow up. But it's okay when you get to that career path and everything. You can still have fun with it and be immature. It's a great thing. Excellent, right? Great, right? I really enjoyed the brevity.
Yeah, and coming back to I behave more my age than my shoe size. I wonder about Kate's shoe size, because she's such a tiny woman. So she probably, you know, I don't know, she probably just has a 5 there, or, you know, not a shoe size. So anyway, and Miriam, what are your thoughts?
I had seen you moment, and I need to be reminded whether it was Naomi or Diane who read the poem.
It was me. Yeah, it was me.
Okay, I thought so. I want to compliment you on how well you read the poem. I mean, you're not Weaver, and nobody reads her poetry the way she does. But I think you did it really well, that we could hear meter. We could hear the meter in it, which is very unique to her. She does it differently from anybody else I know. And you just did a splendid job.
Ah, thank you so much, Miriam.
Well, you're very welcome. I'd like to say that this is just hilarious. I mean, her humor is so good. I behave more my age than my shoe size. Yeah. And then for the middle verse, I have a short story to tell. This is when I was in my 30s, and my nephew was staying with us for a while. My nephew Kenton, he was in his 20s at the time. And my little nephew Patrick, who was about 7 then, came in the front door, and I said, I have to go to work now. And he said, why are you going to work? And the 20-year-old Kenton said, because she was careless and grew up. The story goes well with his poem, I think.
Yeah, so much so. Yeah, you know what they say, but you know the reality is not there for everybody. You know, some have to work, you know, just work at whatever they can find. But you know, when you can choose, you know what they say, you know, the work becomes not work when you're doing what you like, what you love. And so hopefully, you know, most people, they'll find something that they really love to do, and then work, you know, it doesn't feel so much like work anymore. So wonderful, wonderful write by Kate here. And Diane, what is our next write?
Well, our next girl, we have Blue Bugatti by Eric Branson, and we have a SoundCloud for that. Is someone posting that for us?
Yep, it'll be up. Blue Bugatti by Eric.
Oh, mighty mouse men, we move each other's cheese, but not the dames, 'cause they're simply too smart. Solemn columns we sneer, quietly check out each other's length, while above architrave ladies quietly assess our inner strength. Riding boots and chaps, we're forever young. Gulcher horsemen, we fear not serrated pampas grass. Yet Jerry Hall's blonde Texan drawl unnerves us. Propensity for Porsches, Lamborghinis and Learjets, column solemn, we profess size doesn't matter. However, flaming dames know we'd rather Titanic cleave than canoe sink. Oh, we're the mighty mouse treadmill men, hell-bent on Tarzan's testosterone danger zone. Yet, suave G.I. Jane saves us from our marauding monkey minds. Pooh bears by nature, we peacocks strut and poo. Raven ravenous croak, never ever clever temptress no more adore, until pheromone wrist flicks crew cut our luscious regal lion manes and bones.
Hit a little laugh at the end. Eric Svensson, you know, he always has his own unique way of writing. Oh, my gracious, you know, just unique to Eric. And Diane, what did you think of this poem?
I'm going to have to pass on this one. I was kind of in and out of the room, and I will have to pass on this one. Sorry.
Okay. No problem, Diane. And Miriam, what are your thoughts, my dear?
I'm glad we have the SoundCloud. Eric has put a whole lot more into the poem than what's on the page here. And I thought some really great improvements. I mean, what he's got here already is wonderful, but I just love the improvements and embellishments that are on the SoundCloud. I hope we'll get it all on page. And then what else was I going to say? I looked up architrave, and oh, my God. Yes, I'm getting it. This is the story of Samson and Delilah. We got a hint of that in the last line, but he's got the columns there. He's got the architrave, which is like the lintel of the doorway. It's the part that goes across on top of the pillars. So he's talking about that, is assessing the strength of Samson as he pushes the pillars apart and knocks the building down. So I didn't get that at all the first time through. I think this is just amazing. I love it.
Oh, wonderful observation there, Miriam. I didn't get that at all. Yeah, that is very, very clever of you to have caught on to that. And Ed, what did you think of Eric's writing?
Well, with his voice, just like with anyone who reads their own poem, it comes out like a masterpiece, and everything flows of how it should be and what it was meant to be. But enjoying this poem, it brings out how I am. Okay. With the Porsches of how living to try to stay young, you know, with all the things I do, I do not like to sit down. I can't be quiet. I'm always out. And this is what comes out to me with this reading, especially the last stanza.
Mm-hmm. And a wonderful comment there, Ed. And Diane, are you back? Are you ready to comment, my dear?
No, I'll move on, though.
What was that?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I will move on to the next write.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so what will be our next write, Diane?
Well, up next, my girl, we have a piece called Two Men by Pam Ray, and it has a SoundCloud.
Two men walking down the street to a morality meet and greet. One man has a conscience clear, the other doesn't really care what people say or do or think while he lives life upon the brink. Both have such a glorious grin with no thought to sordid sin. One tells the truth, the other lies, both like a gal with shapely thighs. They point their fingers at each other. The game of blame is such a bother. Conscience can't be viewed through religious cud that can't be chewed. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful write. And, you know, that captures that quote by Ogden Nash in such a witty, clever way, or Pam. And Diane, what did you think of Pam's write?
Well, I am back for sure now. Sorry, guys. I was kind of in and out there. My bad. But, Eric, I apologize. Next time I will stay in the moment. But this piece, too, I really enjoyed this. An excellent read and write, Pam. In Pam's nature only, she grabs out of this the two men, one with a clear conscience or one with no conscience. And in typical Pam style, she creates a little world around them and explains throughout how you can live life both ways. One doesn't care and the other one has a clear conscience, but you can live life both ways. One living up on the brink and the other saying or doing what they think. It's just excellent, right? Excellent put together. And I like that last line in it. It brought me to a though religious could that can't be chewed. Because that is a topic that when you're talking with another person, that's going to give you either a clear conscience or an I don't care attitude. It's excellent, right? Well put together and really a nice brevity. Excellent job, Pam.
Oh, I agree. I echo everything you said. Wonderful, wonderful, right? And Miriam, your thoughts?
One thought I have is that this Ogden Nash quote reminds me of something that George Burns said, and I am definitely paraphrasing. He said that the most important part of acting is sincerity. And when you can fake that, you haven't made. Sincerity is like the conscience. Then also, as I read this poem, the meaning that I'm getting out of it, I don't know whether Pam intended this or not, but the meaning I'm getting is that you really can't tell if somebody else has a conscience. And to blame them because their conscience tells them something different from what yours does. But it doesn't mean that you're right and they're wrong, nor the other way around. So off the conscience can't be viewed. Through religious cuts, it can't be chewed. And that last line just had me silently giggling here. I just love that. Religious cut that can't be chewed. I mean, that can be so true. I know that as a lifelong, very religious person, there are plenty of times that cut just can't be chewed. Good work.
Wonderful talk. So, Ari, Miriam, were you finished, or did you have something to add?
I think I'm done. Thanks.
Okay. That was a wonderful observation. Yeah, I get that too out of the poem, you know, especially when he says, one tells the truth, the other lies, both like a gal with shapely thighs. They point their fingers at each other. The game of blame is such a bother. You know, for oft a conscience can't be viewed through religious cud. That can't be chewed. Isn't that brilliant? A religious cut that can't be chewed. That is really witty and clever. Amazing. And Ed, what did you think of Pam's write?
Well, I have a couple views about this. This could be within oneself of how you view things and how you act. Or it is how life is, what you see out there today, the consciousness of the conscious that you the people don't have, they don't care. And, the people that care, that have conscience is trying to have a better world, and they kind of clash. And that's what's hard about this society. And that's the two observations I get out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Ed. And what a great, great brevity this is, Pam. Bravo. And what will be our next rite, Diane?
Up next, my dear, is Middle Age by Ima Rima. And Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Okay. Well, I just read a while ago. Well, I can read again. Okay. Middle Age.
Sorry.
Now, what? Yeah, what was that?
Oh, I said sorry. I didn't realize I tagged you twice.
Oh, that's okay. I get all mixed up in whose turn it is to read to on my shows. Oh, my gracious. Maybe we can have Ed or Miriam read this one.
Sure.
Sounds good, Ed.
Well, okay, good.
Middle Age.
Okay, here we go. Middle Age by Ima Rima. Now, what was I going to say? Could I have sworn that was my passport? So did I take that pill today? Calling at 9 p.m., absurd. Now, where did I put that darn phone? What did I come into here for? Why was another gray hair shown? I hardly moved. Why am I sore? So the twist, do the kids still dance? Why is my body falling apart? The dryer must have skunk these pants. King's ransom in my grocery cart. Some daily questions at my stage of life on reaching middle age. End poem.
Why is my body falling apart? The dryer must have shrunk these pants. Yeah, you know. I think that sometimes, you know. No, I'm not putting on weight. It's the dryer that's shrinking my clothes. wonderfully put. And a wonderful read there, Ed. And Miriam, what did you think of this poem?
I really, really enjoy this. I almost always like humorous poems about aging. And one of the things that I have really enjoyed about the process of aging is that now my same-age friends understand what I've been going through my whole life because of the ADD. I mean... What did I come into here for? My whole family was like that from early childhood. And, of course, there are other things in here that are specifically about aging that you're not going to have when you're seven, like gray hair and the body falling apart. But King's ransom in my grocery cart, that's marvelous. I remember my parents... shortly after my oldest sister got married, my parents kept their receipt from their grocery shopping. And this was grocery shopping for 14 people. And they presented it to him as a, you know, to warn him, this is what your life is going to be like from now on. And the bill was $100. Can you imagine now shopping for 14 people and paying
on
the
hours? Oh,
so,
my gracious, yeah.
The poem is about aging, and it's also about the passage of time and the changes that happen in the world around you. And I just love it. I just love this. Really funny.
Thank you, Miriam. Wonderful comment there. And Ed, your thoughts on the poem.
Okay, for the young people out there that are listening, this is what you got to look forward to.
Right.
And we're always questioning ourselves when we do something every day. And it's just a part of growing old at middle age. And
this is good for some of the youngsters because this is so true. And it would be nice that they get a little view of what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well said there. Well said there, Ed. And Diane, what are your thoughts on this poem?
Well, I don't like this, right? I'm not in love with this one at all because it makes me realize I am old. I am getting old. Middle age. It's got all the signposts, every single signpost of that I am getting old. Did I take my pills today? Somebody called me last night at 9 p.m. What did I come into this room for? I can't even remember why I walked into a room. Why do I have another gray hair? What the heck? They're all gray. So an excellent shot to my ego that I am getting old. So excellent, right? Great, right?
That was an awesome comment, Diane. You cracked me up. Oh, boy. We have to laugh a bit on this show. Yeah, and every show. Make it fun. Thank you so much for that. And what do we have up next, Diane?
Up next, and I'm just putting it in both rooms here, up next is a piece called Don't Fight It, Kids, Spots Rule. And I'll go ahead and read this one. And now another poem to pile on the sliced tree circular file, edition of the Musty Journal. Nobody reads. Members supported by underwire jock straps and brassiere africanados with a pronounced octopal protuberance and horny horn rimmed. I'm not doing this poem justice. Glasses who profess to some monkey biz about how reading and writing can add Elon Musk to the dining table more. That cracked ceramic vases or origami flowers, polyester curtains, and a robot dinner date selected, especially for your literary taste and levels of nearsightedness. So remember, kids, don't pig out on fudge when my app can save you writing sugar-free poems in minutes. Call me. End poem.
Ah, this is just a delightful poem. I love how we've slipped in Elon Musk into that poem. I'd like to hear what you all have to say. Miriam, what did you think of this poem?
Well, my husband tells me that I'm innocent, and I have to say a poem very educational. I never heard of an underwire jockstrap.
Neither have I.
Neither have I.
It would be fun to wear.
Oh, that's funny. Let's see, what else can I say? Oh, the AI poetry. This seems to be referring to AI poetry. And I have not read very much of it, but what I have read is just so syrupy, it's disgusting. And at first I was wondering, why is he saying sugar-free poems? And then I realized that things that are artificially sweetened tend to be far sweeter tasting than things with natural sugar. And perhaps that's what he's talking about. I really enjoy this poem.
Thank you, Miriam. Wonderful comment. And Diane, you read that so wonderfully. Attack it. What did you think?
Well,
I like it. I first off really like what Miriam said. I love the fact that it's AI poetry. Like it's and the last stanza backs up exactly what she said. So remember, kids, don't pig out on fudge when my app can have you writing sugar-free poems in minutes. Artificial poetry, I never really thought of that, right? But you can have artificial where it's not real and it is sugar-free. So you can have the artificial blend of poetry. And this, for me, is in no way an artificial blend of poetry. For me, it is it's got all the sugar I want. It's totally sugar. It's got everything. It's juicy. It's got everything in it that I would want to read and feel going through my brain. It's just an excellent write. Really well done. I'm looking back to see who this poet is. If you're Abs, I must read more of If You're Abs.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. You know, a very, you know, humorous and, you know, but a deep look at, you know, society, you know, and how progress has evolved and, you know, but maybe, you know, too fast, too much, too soon. I don't know. But great, humorous write and that englobes so much. And Ed, what did you think of the poem?
Well, knowing it for a long time, he has some unbelievable writes, very unique in his way. Again, there are different observations in this, and this could be explaining the kids as they get older, growing up, and pigging out as a young person, and the changes in life that we have sugar-free, and the way things are running today. The way he explains, especially for literary tastes and levels of nearsightedness, these different levels of how they will be living in life. That's all. What
great,
I
great observation there, Ed. Awesome comment. You guys are rocking it this morning with your comments. Great job, everybody. And let's go on to our next poem, Diane.
Yes, up next we have Smoke and Mirror Parabellum Wrinkles by Intimidus Rex. And we need our mister to read this one. Would you go ahead, Ed?
Oh, my God. This is a tough one. Can someone else read this? Because I'll hack it up, and I've been trying to read it, and I cannot get it in sync. Please?
Okay, you know what? I will go ahead and try and read this
one. Okay, great.
I don't have Rex's voice. I can't even pretend to have Rex's voice. But I will go ahead and read this. Smoke and Mirror Parabellum Wrinkles. Come, my friends, let the night whisper. It's raven-clawed prose through the hollows of your eyes. Let toll that bell ringing in Eve's mooned venom and bleed to the voice, rivering the trench falling deep into the abyss of daylight. Strength. Carpe diem gnaws the hem of tree-lined canticles missing feet backwards, strolled, find that. Brawly of enigma, dropping rain through calabash, smoke and mirrors, parabellum wrinkles. Of gaslit shrouds sparkling, rouge sentimentality, lost on the cusp of wavering hyperbole. Where eagles dare not. Yet a badger eats the honey trapped in the hollow of a blind bear, untethered. End poem.
Oh, wow. You did that justice. What a great read, Diane. Amazing. Not easy to read Rex's unique voice and writing, but, you know, always written with such cleverness and such wit. And, you know, the metaphors in here are just amazing. You know, this is absolute, wonderful, witty, clever write to that prompt, which is time is like the ocean, always there, always different. And, you know, from the gaslit shard sparkling rouge, sentimentally lost on the cups of wavering hyperbole, to where eagles dare not, yet a badger eats the honey tapped in the hollow of blind bear on tethered. You know, he cleverly captures that prompt. And what did you think, Miriam?
Yeah, this is clearly very difficult to read, and I wish we did have a SoundCloud from Rex, and I hope that somebody will scold him for not sending us one.
You get to that, Miriam.
Don't mean that the read we got wasn't good, but, you know, hearing a poem in the voice of the poet is always so very special.
Yes, indeed.
I think there were a lot of literary references in here, and it would take a number of readings to draw them out into my brain. It's just very dense, and it's going to take some work, but I think it'll be well worth it.
Yeah, yeah. Like all Rex's work, it takes a couple of readings. But, you know, I think what he's getting on is that, you know, you can try and do something, but something always will go wrong or get in the way, you know. So life doesn't always turn out like you want it to. And Diane, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, what the heck is Rex trying to tell us here? But then when I read it and I get into it, I can feel and see what Rex is putting out through us. The smoke and mirror that comes through, that we have to fight through in life, I guess, with time and everything. And the prompt that he wrote to, time is like the ocean, always there, always different. And this piece takes me through different places. Come, my friends, let the night whisper its raven-clawed prose through the hollows of your eyes. It's like he's telling me to look up on the night and take it in and let the prose flow through me. But with the smoke and mirror in front and everything, it's an excellent piece. It's got a message of, like you said, Naomi, like, you know, where are we going here? And stands a brawly of enigma, dropping rain through calabash, smoke and mirror, parabellum wrinkles. The title, powerful title. And smoke and mirror, you can see life through a smoke and mirror, and it does look wrinkled. And I think that the imagery that he grabbed this message and put it out through is just amazing. Excellent, right, Rex? I love your work.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful comment there. And Ed, what did you think of Rex's write?
Well, again, she did a wonderful job reading, and I commend her. What I got out of it is... it was very unique, and it kind of deals with being in the abyss, stuck at the bottom, fighting to get out. And,
brilliant, yeah.
Especially the beginning of this first three stanzas. Oh, actually, all four of them there. And then at the bottom, where the eagles, they're not yet, badger eats the honey. That is unbelievable, and of what is involved to try to get out of this this abyss or destructive mode that they may be in. So
wonderful.
I thought it was a beautiful read. Yeah.
Wonderful observation there, Ed. Wonderful comment. Yeah. That's a wonderful addition to the show, that comment there. And I'm sure Rex appreciates it, you know, the way you interpreted his poetry so well. And Diane, what will be our next write?
Our next write is called Stupid Sleeps on My Sofa by King. And Naomi, your turn.
Okay. Okay. Stupid Sleep on My Sofa. And this is written to you are only young once, but you can stay immature indefinitely. That guy, roly-poly, unfolds him, past licked ice cream, dribbles fat, his cheeks and lips. Wallow sleeps upon my sofa, undersized tin boat, buoyancy floats the decor of my head. His care hides in bourbon bottles, strewn across decor's floral bed. Confusion's curly eyebrows raise. Was she left behind? So he dreads. His gum boots shelter sweltered feet in sun, sea, sand, blues swell. In sandals, his toes kiss quagmire, suds, and bogs. He tries his head, muxed up. He cannot tell. So his work cart drags up progress through beaten paths and broken wheels. So diligence now in work and play, forsake past demeanors that mirrors reflect reminder of my errors of my past days. End poem. And I'm leading comments. Wake up, Naomi. Oh my goodness. Diane, what did you think of this one?
It's okay, Naomi girl. You were so wrapped up in that piece. That piece had you captivated, so you didn't know where you were even coming out of it. So you did an excellent job reading that. Great job. And Stupid Sleeps on My Sofa. I love the title. I read through this with the title in mind. And Wallow sleeps upon my sofa, undersized tin boat's buoyancy floats the decor of my head. Reflecting on that, you are only young once, but you can stay immature indefinitely. And who cares? His cares hide in bourbon bottles strewn across decor's floral bed. Confusion's curly eyebrows raise. Was she left behind? So he dreads. Just thinking of immaturity or thinking of being young, and is it gone behind you? Is it over? Is it past? And in that last stanza, diligent now in work and play, forsake past demeanors that mirrors reflect reminder of my errors of my past days. Like you can age, but you reflect back on your immaturity and your young days when you, because I'm sorry, but when I was young, I was stupider. Stupid slept on my couch too, because when I was young, I did things that I would not do today. Why? Because I have 20 something years ahead of me or on me that I have learned my mistakes. And looking back, I can't change my mistakes today. I can't change them. The past is the place for learning, not for living. And that's where I go with my past today. I learn from it. And there's a lot of message in here that, just let it settle. It's errors of your past. Excellent, right? I really enjoyed this.
Wow, amazing comment there, Diane. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, this poem kind of turns around what we've read in other poems about immaturity. The other poems are very upbeat about how much fun you can still have when you get older. This poem reflects on the downside of immaturity and the mistakes that we make. And the thing that really struck me about this poem is that almost throughout the poem, King is talking about that guy while I sleep upon my sofa, and so on and so forth, always talking about that person, that other person who did all these things wrong. And then in the last verse, you suddenly find out that he's actually talking about himself, that he's talking about his own regrets and the mistakes that he made, reminder of my errors, of my past days. And that shows the maturity that he gained. And I don't think that means he can't have fun anymore, but he's just more careful about the ways in which he finds fun. And the other thing was something I really, really enjoyed about this. I am a huge fan of spoonerisms. And I think muxed ip, oh, that's just wonderful. I hope I will remember that and say that from now on. It's perfect.
Yeah, and I love the alliteration, you know, in sun, sea, sand, blue, swell, and sandals. That is just amazing, you know. And, of course, before you have sheltered feet in sun, sea, sand, blue, swell, and sandals. That's a great alliteration with the sound S there. Going on. Yeah, just amazing, right? And Ed, what did you think?
Well, I agree. It's kind of a depressing right, but it's someone that is got out of his hole. He went forward, especially in the last stance. You know, at the beginning, that guy that roly-poly unfolds him past licked ice cream, dribbles fat, his cheeks and lips. Actually, that could mean a little bit about when he started as a young boy. And then in the middle, his life got rough, especially the bourbon bottles and the drinking. And then at the end, he finally realized by looking at himself, by seeing the errors in the past mistakes, and he's getting out of this hole. So that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful comment there, Ed. Wonderful write by Kang here. And thank you so much for writing. And where are we going next, Diane?
Next up, we have a piece called I Have Now Reached Middle Age by Teresa Streshenkoff. And Miriam, would you read that one, please?
I would, but give me a second here.
Absolutely.
You're very nice about that, always. I have now reached middle age. At times it makes me feel old. Drinking coffee at now got instead of a beer, hoping it's the wrong number when my phone rings after 8. Used to start my night after 9 and able to drink so many drinks, fighting and yelling when I went out. Always woke up hungover without a doubt. I thought that there would be some things from my party days. Surprisingly, not one memory comes to mind because a life of love and peace I did find. End poem.
Wonderful. Read there, Miriam. And, you know, yeah, that's so true. You know, you know, when you go out to those bars, when you're, you know, you're a teenager and you're partying about and, you know, but, you know, when you finally settle into your life, settle, you know, it's like settling into yourself, finding your inner self, and you find that peace and, you know, you're that calm and that serenity. Yeah, I think this is a wonderful write by Teresa here. You know, that finding that piece is so important. And what did you think, Ed, of this piece by Teresa?
Again, this is part of life when she was a young girl, partying all the time, getting hungover. Now today she's drinking coffee and looking back at how she acted. But today with the love and peace, her memories have gone away of this bad, well, it can't be bad. It's how many kids live partying. So now she's at peace with her life. And I thought it was it was kind of emotional, but it was a true piece that everyone can relate to.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Very relatable piece indeed to everyone. And Miriam, you read that so beautifully. What did you think of Teresa's write?
What I really liked about this one was the last line. Mostly the poem seems to be getting more and more negative. And then all of a sudden she says, because a life of love and peace I did find. As all of a sudden she turns the whole thing around and lets us know that it all worked out okay. And, you know, getting older can be good because of the love and peace you find. If you do. I know not everybody does. And what else was I going to say? Oh, I was never a big drinker, although I did used to drink more wine than I should because I was trying to prevent my father from drinking too much. And I learned after a while that was not a good technique. but my husband and I used to do a lot of singing. We'd go out singing with friends and stay up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning singing. And those days are long gone. We usually droop after 10 o'clock. That part, even though it's singing rather than drinking, that resonated with me.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comment there. And were you, Miriam, were you finished? I'm sorry.
Finished, thank you.
Okay, I thought I interrupted you. My gracious, this morning I'm mumbling over my words. Yeah, you know, your comment on, you know, some people, you know, hopefully find it, not everybody does. Talking from my point of view, being hyperactive and everything, that was hard to find. I just found it like, you know, I settled in about a few years ago, you know, I started to settle down and my mind started to settle. And Diane, what did you think of this piece?
Well, this piece was kind of like the other piece we read on middle age, but it didn't piss me off because I felt old this time. I kind of felt the last line. I felt really at peace. I felt it's okay to reach middle age. It's different today. Yes, you know, 20 years ago, my night started after 9 too, and I drank myself under the table. I could never do that in this life if I even wanted to. I couldn't wake up with a hangover these days because I don't live life that way today. I live life different ways all my life, and this is not a phase where I drink and I Hello? Drown out everything. Hello? Oh, so I really found this piece really gave me a sense of peace because, yeah, I look back on life and I am grateful for what I have in my life today. I'm grateful that I wake up every day. So excellent piece, excellent write, and great take on reaching middle age.
I have an aside for you guys. I'm a portrait photographer, and I would like to encourage you to click on the poet's profile picture there, because I have to say that's one of the most beautiful portraits I've ever seen. It's just wonderful. Teresa's portrait. I think it's a selfie. She's got her name on it.
Oh, I agree. Great observation. I totally agree. Are you there, Naomi? I think Naomi might not be with us right now. So, Ed and Miriam, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to put up the next piece until Naomi gets back. She's back online now, but I'll go ahead and put up the next piece. And we have a piece called, here we go, It Feels Like Yesterday by our very own Mr. Ed Hunter. Ed, would you like to honor us with this read?
Oh, yes. As soon as it comes up, we have it here.
Oh, just a sec. I'm sorry. I put it on one board. There we go.
Okay. I always write unique stories that may be different from many people. It's called It Feels Like Yesterday. Her soft kiss upon my neck and the smell of her fragrance created a luxurious frenzy. Champagne breasts, perky, soft, and milky white skin, long, slender legs to coil around my body, and her gorgeous blonde hair across my chest. She called my name as if I was the only one that existed. All barriers fell to the wild, a bondless, instinctive hunger we craved. Far beyond the fruit of Adam and Eve, my rapture absorbed her body as she pulled me in. I was her desire. She was my addiction. We became a splendid fury hidden in the darkness. End poem.
I'm back. I'm back, guys. I just got back. And wow. Oh, my gracious, what a wonderful poem. When you're that young love, I guess, if you look at the quote, you're only young once, but you stay immature indefinitely. And I think, you know, the way, I could be wrong, Ed, here, but, you know, the way you went around this is by illustrating, you know, in a witty, clever way, in your own unique way, that love has no age. And in love, you stay immature indefinitely. And, you know, when you fall in love, oh, my gracious, everything else falls apart, if I can say that that way. And Diane, what is your take on Ed's poem?
Whew, Ed. Whoa, this is really wow. I'm blushing. You can't see it, but I'm blushing. This should be on The Art of Seduction. This is, wow, I love this piece. It's really wrapped up the imagery. And what you're, I think you're saying it is your love is only young once as well. And young love has a different imagery than old love. I don't even want us to go there. But young love, perky, soft, and milky white skin, long, slender legs to coil around my body and her gorgeous blonde hair across my chest. And yeah, that is young love. You're not going to see that kind of love with two old people, trust me. But you, she called my name as if I was the only one that existed. You captured that love at a at an earlier age in your life, and you captured it and you keep it inside you. I was her desire. She was my addiction. You know what you had there, and you absorb it into yourself. It's excellent, right? I'm really impressed. I've never read anything of yours yet, and Ed, this is awesome. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you very
that.
Much. Thank you.
I think we're all blushing. Oh, my gracious. And Miriam, your thoughts, my dear.
Ed, I feel really privileged to have heard you read your own poem there. It's just so beautiful. The sound of it, the sound of the poem is so beautiful. And to me, the sound of a poem is primary. I mean, I would put that even above meaning. And your meaning is beautiful. The sexuality in it is just gorgeous. It's so peaceful and loving. And a lot of erotic poetry I have to turn away from because I've got PTSD. I had no instinct to turn away from this. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
That's an awesome comment, Miriam. And yes, you know, wow. I just love, yeah, like Miriam said, you know, the impact of your voice reading this poem. It really made me blush, as Diane too, I think. You know, it was amazing. Yeah, you know, just beautiful. And it has this tender softness to it, you know, that was wound around the words. So I really appreciated it. So wonderful, wonderful, right, Ed? And Diane, we have time for maybe one last poem.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, we have finished the contest entries with Ed's poem. That was the last one. And I see that Miriam and myself put in a piece. So I'm going to have some fun and have Miriam read hers. And then if we have time, I'll read mine. And Naomi, I'm sorry, but I don't see one from you. But we will go ahead with Miriam.
I will read mine as fast as I can. No.
Okay. It's called It Feels Like Yesterday, Miriam.
Oh,
no,
that's I'm sorry. I got the wrong one.
Ed.
That's it.
Yeah.
She can read
it. It's called AP anniversary to me. Go ahead, girl.
Okay, that's I had the Ogden Nash one.
Well, I'm sorry. This was what was up next. I didn't see an Ogden Nash one.
Yeah, I put up an Ogden Nash one. I finally found a way to put it up a couple days ago. But whatever. Let's see if I have it here. There it is. I'll read you that one. That's pure silliness. The photograph here I took, it was a challenge from a marvelous photographer on Facebook, and he wanted us to find faces in things. And I'm very limited in my mobility, so the only faces that I could find were the ones that I made for myself. And this one is made out of little pieces of bread crust. Since August 22nd is my anniversary, I now have more than 200 poems to my name. I think surreal Skittles an appropriate attainment. The bowling pin is sporting, and ethereal is game. So join the celebration. I'll be 1 year old that day. I try for 1,500 comments. I am almost there. Can't reach 100 contests. I'm 43. My family's due to visit, and I've got to wash my hair.
Oh, wow, I really appreciated this one. Amazing, right, Miriam? And you know that face, smiley face with it. I think it's Bits of Toast, isn't it? That's really cute. Yeah, I think surreal Skittles and an appropriate entertainment. The bowling pin is sporting and ethereal is game. But, you know, I'll be 1 year old that day. I'd try for 1,500 comments. I'm almost there. And then the last line, which is hilarious. Diane, what did you think of Miriam's piece?
Miriam, congratulations on your first year and 200 poems in your first year. Good job, girl. I'm impressed.
I put up 200 poems. Some of them are from the past, but yeah, I got 200 up. I really strove for that the last few days.
I kept
writing a lot of
right.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Excellent right, though. Like, great time to celebrate your year. And I love your imagery and your ethereal is game. So join the celebration. I'll be 1 year old today. I'd try for 1,500 comments. I'm almost there. Can't reach 100. Excellent description of your year on all poetry and great imagery and humor to create it. Excellent job. Really nice piece.
I just checked and I have gone past 1,500 comments.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, 43 contests in 1 year, that's quite a bit. Because, I'm reaching, 120 or something. And, you know, I've been on here for 6 years. And I only have 300 and some poems on here. And I've been in, almost 7 years. Well, yeah. 7 years, so that is a great accomplishment for me. Wow, you know, to have that many, 200 poems in 1 year, awesome. And Ed, what did you think of Miriam's poem?
I thought it was very entertaining and amusing, and I think this would be a good poem for the newbies to read, something for them to work for, and what she's done to achieve this goal. It was a lovely poem.
Oh, great.
This is one that a while after I wrote it, I looked back at it and I thought it was kind of lame. So it's really nice to hear you guys appreciate it.
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. It's a very, very, you know, it shows, I like Ed's comment, you know, it's a thing to look forward for the newbies that come on AP for sure. That was an awesome comment there. And guys, we have 1 minute left. So I just want to take the time to thank Miriam, you know, for always, you know, phoning in, encouraging us. And I just want to say that in 2 weeks, keeping it brief, will be moved to Monday at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope, Miriam, that you know, that's a time zone that you can still phone in, is it?
Unfortunately, probably not, because I... Monday nights I have we have somebody coming in to help us with housework and health things. So it would be difficult to do that while she's here. But I'll see if I can arrange something.
Okay.
I would miss it. But I'll try.
Okay, because we really, really appreciate you calling in. Oh, my gracious, you make the your comments make the show so much better. And I'd like to, you know, just thank Ed and welcome him again to the show. And thank you, Diane, so much. And everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday day. Goodbye, everybody.
Cheers. Goodbye.